This morning will be on the book of Daniel. Will you please turn to Daniel? Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and a part of the vessels of the house of God. And he carried them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the chief of his eunuchs, that he should bring of the children of Israel, both of the royal seed and of the nobles, youth in whom was no blemish, and of goodly countenance, and skillful of all wisdom, and acquainted with knowledge and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed unto them a daily provision of the king's delicate food and of the wine that he drank, to nourish them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And the prince of the eunuchs gave them names. To Daniel he gave the name Belshazzar, and to Hanani, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not pollute himself with the king's delicate food, nor with the wine which he drank. And he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not have to pollute himself. And God granted Daniel favor and mercy before the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 17. As for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days, that the king had said he would bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And they stood before the king. And in all matters of judicious wisdom, as to which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the scribes and the magicians that were in all his realms. And Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. Let's turn to the last chapter, chapter 12. We read from verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4. And thou, Daniel, close the words, and seal the book till the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I, Daniel, look, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side on the bank of the river, and the other on that side on the bank of the river. And he said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long is it to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the water of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto the heavens, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it is for a time, times, and half a time. And when the scattering of the power of the holy people shall be accomplished, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. And I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for these words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and be made white and be refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. and from the time that the continual sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But do thou go thy way until the end, and thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in thy presence, we just look to thy Spirit to open thy word to our hearts, that we may be drawn closer to thee and to thy will. We do offer ourselves to thee for whatever thy will be for this earth, and may thy name be glorified throughout all the earth. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Daniel means God is my judge, or God is judge. He was born during the reign of King Josiah. And we remember that King Josiah was a good king. But he died in battle with Necho, king of Egypt. And after he died, his son Jehoahaz continued on the throne just for 3 months and was deposed by Necho, king of Egypt. And Necho made Jehoiakim king instead. So Jehoiakim was a vassal to the king of Egypt. But in the third year of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came. He defeated Necho and besieged Jerusalem. So King Jehoiakim surrendered to him. And even though Nebuchadnezzar allowed Jehoiakim to continue as king over Judah, he did take hostages. So out of the royal families and of the nobles, he took hostages. And he brought these hostages to Babylon with the idea that Jehoiakim would not rebel against him. And among the hostages was a young man named Daniel. Daniel evidently came from the royal or the noble family. Probably when he was taken to Babylon, he was around 20 years of age. He lived through a few years as a teenager under that wicked king Jehoiakim. But thank God, Daniel remained faithful to the God of his fathers. Now we must remember one thing, and that is when Daniel was taken as hostages to Babylon, the whole world situation was beginning to make a great change. Because we know that in the past, God called Abraham, and through Abraham, he raised up the nation of Israel. And he was king to that nation. And to that nation, he gave the government of the world. But then you find in the third year of Jehoiakim, when Jewish people began to be taken as captives, that was the beginning of a tremendous change in the economy of God. Because Israel or Judah will very soon be destroyed. Jerusalem will be destroyed. The temple will be destroyed. And from then on, during the Babylonian captivity, we find that God was not addressed as the God of the heavens and of the earth. Because on earth, he had no testimony. The nation to whom he put his name was destroyed. The temple where his name was set was destroyed. So he had no testimony upon this earth. He was called during that period the God of the heavens, but was not addressed as the God of the heavens and of the earth. The government on this earth passed from the hand of the chosen people of God into the hands of the Gentiles. So as a matter of fact, you find the times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar, with Babylon. A tremendous change was coming upon this earth. But even though God was no longer addressed as the God of the heavens and of the earth, the world seemed not to recognize God as the God over all. Yet God had not left without witnesses for himself. So Daniel was raised up during that critical time to be a witness to the world that even though God did not seem to have any visible testimony upon this earth, that he was the God of the earth as well as the God of the heavens. And yet God had not given up his right. In other words, he is still the God of the heavens and of the earth. Even though in our appearance, the government of the earth has passed to the hands of the Gentiles who did not know him, did not recognize him. And yet God was still ruling over the affairs of man. And that is a testimony that was entrusted to this man, Daniel. Daniel lived at a time of this tremendous change. We know that his contemporaries are Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, and Obadiah. Jeremiah remained with the people in Judah, and later on we knew that he went to Egypt. His burden was with the people, and he was with the chosen people to the very end. Ezekiel was also taken into captivity in the time of Jehoiachin. And he was with the people in captivity. And his burden was with the temple of God, because he was a priest. And here we find Daniel. Even though he was taken into Babylon as a hostage, but he did not live with the captives. Instead, we find that he lived in the royal palace, and he served in the governments of the world. And therefore, you'll find he was concerned with the city or the kingdom of God. It is interesting to know that even though in our English Bible, Daniel was listed with the major prophets, so-called, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And even in the Greek Bible, it was the same. But in the Hebrew Bible, we find that Daniel was not listed among the prophets. You know, the Hebrew Bible is divided into three sections: the law, the prophets, and the writings. And Daniel was listed in the writings. The writings are composed of people like priests, seers, and others. Now, why is it that Daniel is not listed among the prophets, but rather in the writings? Now, the reason for that probably was because even though Daniel was given prophetic utterances, and yet he did not really fulfill a prophet's office like the other prophets. Because he did not live with the people, he did not prophesy to the people, he lived in the palace, and his prophecy is concerned with the nations of the world, of course, as well as with God's chosen people. So in a sense, he did not fulfill the function of a prophet in the strictest sense. He was more a seer than a prophet. And for this reason, we find that he is listed in the writings instead of the prophets. Daniel lived about 600 years before Christ, in the 6th century before Christ. In the Old Testament, we find that Ezekiel mentioned his name. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14 and verse 20, Ezekiel mentioned three righteous men: Noah, Daniel, and Job. And then again in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 3, he mentioned Daniel's name: wise, or wiser than Daniel. In other words, the wisdom of Daniel. And in the New Testament, you'll find our Lord Jesus mentioned his name. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, the prophet Daniel. Now, even though the Lord did call him prophet, and he is a prophet, but he did not fulfill that prophet's office. So Daniel is a very real person, testified both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. When you read the book of Daniel, you will find that the book of Daniel is written in two different languages. From chapter 2, verse 4, to the end of chapter 7, that is verse 28,
These are written in Aramaic. That is the Chaldeans language. But the rest of the book was written in Hebrew. Now, even though it was written in two different languages, and yet it is one book, it is one unit, it is clear. And Daniel himself is the writer of this book. Now, even though in the first part, he didn't mention, he didn't use the personal pronoun I, he started to use that in the second part of that book of Daniel. And yet it is evident that he is the one who gave us this book. The book of Daniel is roughly divided into two parts. Chapter 1 to chapter 6, historical. Chapter 7 to chapter 12, prophetic. And as you look into these chapters, you find that from chapter 1 to chapter 4, these are concerned with things happened in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 5 in the reign of Belshazzar. Chapter 6 in the reign of Darius. And chapter 7 and 8 in the time of Belshazzar. Chapter 9 in the time of Darius. Chapter 10 to 12 in the time of Cyrus. So when you read the book of Daniel, you'll find time-wise you can see a very clear chronological time there in the book of Daniel. The first part of Daniel is historical. The second part is prophetic. And we say the prophetic part of Daniel is apocalyptic because it gave us a series of supernatural visions that must be interpreted. And this is what apocalypse means. That is the unveiling of truth. It is like the book of Revelation, or part of Ezekiel, of Zechariah. Now the book of Daniel is very, very important because it is the key to the interpretation of the Olivet discourse of our Lord Jesus. That is Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And also the key to the book of Revelation. So in order to understand the Olivet Discourse and the book of Revelation, as well as to see the comprehensive view of prophecy, Daniel is the key. But brothers and sisters, I'm afraid when we mention Daniel, we are more interested in his prophecy than in his person. In other words, his prophetic utterances are fascinating. And that's the thing that really attracts us. But oftentimes we forget Daniel as a person. And you find in the book of Daniel, half of the book is concerned with that person, his history. And part of the book is his work, his prophecy. Now in the sight of God, the person is always more important than his work. Now we look it differently. We think of the work more important than the person. As long as the work is done, it doesn't matter what kind of a person you are. But that's not the way with God. God is interested deeply in person. He wants the man more than the work. And in Daniel, I think it is very evident. So we need to pay more attention to Daniel as a man of God than to pay attention to the prophecies that God used Daniel to give to us. God is called the God of Daniel. You know, in the scripture, there are a few places where God is called the God of such a person. Like God is called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is called the God of Daniel. There must be something very special there. Now, of course, in a general sense, God is our God. God is your God. God is my God. But to be God, called God, the God of Daniel, or called the God of so-and-so, I think there must be something very special. In other words, when God is called a God of a special person, it shows that in that special person, God has given to the world a special revelation of himself. In other words, with that person, we are given a new knowledge of God. So you see how important is that vessel. Daniel is called, God is called the God of Daniel. Because in Daniel, God has made himself known to the world in a very special way that cannot be known any other way. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll find how true this is. Even the Gentile kings, one after another, had to recognize that the God of Daniel is the God of all gods. He is the living God. He is the one who rules over all the earth. He is the one who sets kings up and who puts them down. He is the one who is the ruler of all the earth. In spite of the fact that the government on earth was in the hand of the heathens, the Gentiles, God still rules and reigns over all. He is sovereign. He is the ruler of all the earth. Not only of heavens, but also upon this earth. And this is the testimony that God has given to the world through this man, Daniel. Brothers and sisters, does the world see in us that God, our God, is the God of Daniel? Does the world see in us that God truly is sovereign? That he truly rules, not only in heavens, but also upon this earth? I think this is a great testimony that the church has to give to this world. Just in the way that Daniel testified for God. Now, Daniel is a man greatly beloved by God. Again, you'll find in the scripture said he is a man greatly beloved. Now, in a general sense, we are all beloved of God. We are beloved in the beloved Son. But that's too general. Among the beloved, there must be some who are greatly beloved, like Daniel. Now, God is not partial in any way. But why is it that with Daniel, God can say he is greatly beloved, even though God loves all? There must be something there. You know, when Daniel was taken as a hostage, he was about 20 years of age. Or maybe younger. On the one hand, I think it was a very traumatic experience to him. Because as a young man, he was born and raised in a noble family, maybe in the royalty, and he was probably having ambition as a young man to serve in his nation for God. And now suddenly he was taken as a hostage, away from his home, away from his own country, in a foreign country. That was a very tragic thing to a young person. But then you'll find the providence as it play a trick upon him. Because when you think that he was taken as a hostage, you would think he would be in a terrible situation. But then you'll find Nebuchadnezzar chose among the young people that he took as hostages from different nations, people, young people who are handsome, who are skillful, who are teachable, the best of the young people of all the world. He will choose these young people and see these people who had promises, who had a future, who could stand before the king. He will set them apart, train them for 3 years, give them his own food, his own drink, and so that they may be trained to stand before him in the royal court. Now suddenly you find the Daniel's luck seems to come to him. You see, as the hostages, he was a prisoner. But now suddenly you find there was a very bright future because he was given all these opportunities. Now suppose you are that young man or young woman. And when such things suddenly happen to you, will you lose your head? You will forget your own nation. You will forget your own people. You will forget your own situation. And you will just seize upon the opportunity and say, now I have a chance. And probably most young people will do that. But not Daniel. Somehow you find his parents must be among the godly people during the reign of King Josiah. So from his youth, somehow in his heart, something was built up within him. So even though he was in that strange situation, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. In other words, this young man determined in his heart that he would not be polluted by anything because he wanted to keep himself pure for God. Here was a young man whose life was devoted to God. In the worst situation that you can think of, because in the royal palace of Babylon, you find all kinds of evil things going on. Luxury, wicked things, treacheries, all kinds of things are going on in the royal palaces. And yet you find Daniel was situated right in that kind of environment. And he purposed in his heart, he will not be polluted by anything. He wanted to keep himself pure for God. What a purpose that must be. It was a very difficult situation. On the one hand, you'll find, humanly speaking, he had no choice. He was given the opportunity. He could not reject the opportunity. Now maybe you say, I want to keep myself pure, so I will reject the opportunity. I will not even learn. I will refuse to learn the Chaldean language. I am a Jew. Well, you can take that kind of position, can you? You cannot, because he was not free. Nor, on the other hand, now the opportunity is open to me, I will enjoy to the uttermost. But not for Daniel. On the one hand, he was level-headed. He will learn everything. He will take the opportunity to learn everything. But not for himself. For God. He might not know what will happen yet, how he could serve God in such a situation, but he was prepared for God. He made the most of everything for God. And yet, he will not be polluted by anything. So he approached the prince of the stewards and said, do not give us the king's food and the king's wine. Just give us plain food. Now, why did he do that? Of course, there might be various reasons. One reason is, of course, in the old days, you know, the king's wine and the food were offered to their idols first. So, in eating this food and in drinking this wine that were offered to the idols before will pollute you, will defile you, as if you are having anything to do with these idols. Now, probably to you, you cannot understand it, but I can understand it, because when I was young, I had the same problem. You know, I came from a Buddhist family, and a great family, four generations living in one house. And every year at New Year, we will have family reunion, and there will be maybe 200 people, 200 people, all the relatives there, you know. And all the food, before we ate, were offered to our ancestors, to the idols first, before we would eat them. Now, after I became a Christian, it became a real problem to me. And I had to refuse eating these things. Fortunately, my aunt heard about it, so she prepared some food for me. But anyway, you'll find in Daniel's time, that was a real thing. Because in partaking of this food, you are partaking with idols. And Daniel couldn't do that because he wanted to keep himself pure for God. Now, that might be the chief reason. But there might be some other reasons. You know, brothers and sisters, we as Christians, if we want to live a life for God, we should not enjoy ourselves with all the things of the world that are given to us. Now, sometimes we think, well, I didn't steal it. It's just my portion. You know, It just happened that these were given to me, so why should I not enjoy to the fullest? No. Because if you do, somehow it will lead your heart astray from God into the things of this world. We Christians should live a simple life. Eat that we may have a healthy body to serve God, but not to live in luxury. That's the reason. A luxurious life is not conducive to Christian living. And probably that's another reason. Because if Daniel should enjoy all the king's food and the king's drink, and probably he will get drunk, that will affect his life before God. So he will rather live a simple life in order that he may glorify God. And brothers and sisters, especially young people, how we need to purpose in our heart the same purpose. Because he had that desire, God honored his purpose, opened the way for him, and he was able not to pollute himself with the king's food and the king's drink. And God rewarded these young men. You know? God gave them wisdom, understanding. And David and Daniel even knew how to interpret dreams and visions. And in judicial matters, these young men were 10 times more than the scribes and the magicians in the whole country. God honored Daniel and his friends. Daniel kept himself pure before God. And because of that, he lived such a transparent life before God that he was able to interpret visions and dreams. Daniel was a humble man. Even though God gave him great wisdom, and he could interpret dreams that none could interpret. And yet when he stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Now, are you able to do that?" He said, "No, I am not wiser than anybody else. It was God who wants to reveal the secret to you." You find that Daniel never tried to take all the glory on himself. He knew that all glory belonged to God. He was just a vessel in God's hand. And the humility of Daniel was something commendable, pleasing to God. And of course, Daniel was righteous. The righteousness of Daniel is proverbial, like Noah. Of all the people in the world, Noah was the only one who was righteous before God, of course, by the grace of God. And of course, we think of Job, the righteous man. And Daniel was a righteous person. He stood before God and man without any fault. even his enemies could not find any fault in all his works. Now, remember that he was almost like the prime minister of the greatest nation in the world, the Medo-Persian Empire. And he must manage numberless, countless things of great affairs of the world, and yet his enemies could not find any fault in anything he did. And they say, if we want to find any fault with him, we have to find it in his relationship with God. Think of that. Such a righteous person. Not only righteous before God, righteous before man. And because he was such a righteous person, he could even advise Nebuchadnezzar, that despot, saying that you better break off your sin with righteousness and show mercy to the poor, that your days may be lengthened. He could even tell Bathsheba that you know all the things happened to your father, but you didn't remember. Such a righteous person. And Daniel was a faithful person. How faithful he was to God and to all the things that were entrusted to his hand. He was so faithful to God that even though there was the royal decree that within a month no one could ask anything from any man or any god, Daniel knew about it. But he was faithful to God 3 times a day with his door, with his window open towards Jerusalem. He knelt before God. He was faithful even unto death. And because of his faithfulness of God, God is faithful to him. And because of his faithfulness to the things entrusted to him, you'll find that he was able to serve through dynasties. Not just one empire, but 2 empires. Furthermore, we find that Daniel, the persistency of Daniel. He continued from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the first year of King Darius. And we know that's 70 years. He lived through the 70 years of captivity. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we may begin well. But can we continue? And Daniel continued on for over 70 years. He has an excellent spirit in him. The Spirit of God is in him. That was Daniel. So, brothers and sisters, in this time, you know, Daniel lived in a very, in a transitional time, very critical time, in a time that the times of the Gentile began. God was not recognized as the God of the earth. And Daniel lived in such a time. And he was a witness raised up by God to stand before the world for the righteousness, the justice of God, to prove to the world that God reigns, and he reigns over the affairs of men. You know, Daniel's name is God is my judge. I wonder if you will like that name, if you know what it means. You like to say, God is my Savior. God is my helper. God is my comforter. But to say God is my judge, do you dare to stand before God as your judge? What kind of life you must live? Daniel must live a highly disciplined life because he stands before God with God as his judge. God judges him in everything he does, in every thought he thinks, every word he spoke. Brothers and sisters, that's Daniel. God is my judge. He judges me. And to be justified before God and be beloved by God, what a disciplined life he must have lived. And because God is my judge, therefore God is judge of the whole earth. That is his testimony. May God raise up many Daniels today. You know, we are living in a world that does not recognize God as the ruler of this earth. We are living in a time when the testimony of Jesus is shattered, broken up. God's people are all broken up. We are living in a very wicked, perverse world. As if God does not exist. God needs Daniel as his witnesses to this world, that God still lives, that he still reigns, he still rules over the affairs of man, because he first rules over me. May God raise up many Daniels today. God needs such witnesses today. Now, of course, the second part of Daniel is with prophecy. Daniel's prophecies are the most comprehensive prophecies ever given, because he prophesied over the whole history of the world. From the time of the beginning of the Gentiles to the second coming of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God in millennium. And he prophesied over the destiny, not only of this world, but also of God's chosen people. He prophesied to the very end of the times. That's Daniel's prophecy. Now, if you read the prophetic part, they are roughly divided into three sections. Chapter 7 and chapter 8. These were prophecies given to Daniel, the visions given to Daniel, and the interpretation in the time of the third year of King Belshazzar. Daniel saw in a vision a great sea. And the four winds blew upon the sea. In other words, there was such a storm, raging storm. And in all the confusion and all the turmoils, he finds that four beasts, wild beasts, coming up one after another. Now we know that Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 2, the visions the dream God gave to King Nebuchadnezzar and the vision God gave to Daniel actually are the same thing. They told us of the times of the Gentiles. In world history, the times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar. And it will end with the coming, second coming of Christ. Now to Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile king, the world dominion is like a tall, gigantic, brilliant, bright, imposing image of man. You know, that's what men think of this world. This world is like a huge man, full of brightness, gold hair, silver breast and arms, brass belly and thigh, and iron legs, and half iron, half clay feet and toes, like a gigantic man, terrible. But in the sight of God, the world history or the world dominion is like beast, wild beast. Cruel, wicked, terrible. In chapter 2, the dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel was the interpreter. In chapter 7, the visions was given to Daniel, and the angel was the interpreter. But they were the same. Oftentimes, we think of chapter 2 of that huge image, of chapter 7, the full beast. But brothers and sisters, the emphasis is not there. The emphasis of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, even though he saw the great image, but the emphasis in that stone that was not cut by man. And that stone will fall upon the toes and will break the whole image, and that stone will grow into a great mountain and fill the earth. Now that is the emphasis. In other words, world empires will come and go, and one day it will all be finished, and the kingdom of God will establish upon this whole earth. That is God's message to the world. The world empires will not last forever. They will be gone. And the kingdom of God and of His Christ shall rule over all the earth. This is our hope. And then in chapter 7, you find the same thing. The emphasis is not on the wild beasts. The emphasis is, you'll find a throne was set up. The Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, and one like the Son of Man will come and take the kingdom and the dominion and the power and the glory. And you'll find that the beasts will all be destroyed, and the saints of the high places shall possess the kingdom. That is the message. Dear brothers and sisters, the times of the Gentiles. That began with Nebuchadnezzar. Is towards the end. We know if our understanding of prophecy is correct. And of course in prophecy you can never be dogmatic because God is of long suffering. But if we understand Luke 21, the times of the Gentiles will be ended when Jerusalem will no longer be trampled under the feet of the Gentiles. And we know it had already happened. So we know we are towards the end. We probably are now in the stage of forming the 10 toes. Thank God His kingdom is coming. So chapter 7 and 8, things talk of the times of the Gentiles. Now in chapter 9 you'll find that Daniel, he was praying. It was during the first year of King Darius. And Daniel, in reading Jeremiah, he finds in Jeremiah chapter 25 and chapter 29 that the Babylonian captivity will be for 70 years. And it was only 2 years to 70 years. So Daniel, when he read and knew about that prophecy, he gave himself to fasting and prayer that God's promise will come to pass. And as he was praying, God answered his prayer by sending an angel to him. And God gave him an answer far surpassing his prayer. You know, he was praying for the 70 years. Because in 2 more years, the 70 years of captivity will be over. So he was praying for his people and for the city of Jerusalem. But when God answered his prayer, God gave him 77s. You know, the word weeks actually is a translation that shouldn't be there. It should be 77s. He was concerned with 70. But God said 77s. Why? God showed him the whole history of the recovery of God towards His chosen people. As it were, in history, God set apart 77s to complete His work with His own chosen people. In one sense, it is through the prayers of Daniel that in the first year of Cyrus, the decree was issued for the children of Israel to go back to rebuild Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. It was through the prayers of Daniel. But on the other hand, you'll find God gave Daniel something more, 77s. Now, we do not have time to go into the details. Only, he said that the 77s will begin with the decree that Jerusalem, the city, should be rebuilt. And the 77 will be divided into 3 parts. The 77s, the 62 sevens, and the 1 seven. The 77s is the time when Jerusalem will be rebuilt as a city. And we know that in the 20th year of Artaxerxes Longimanus, that is in 454 B.C., the order was given to Nehemiah to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was rebuilt in a time of troubles. It took 49 years to complete the rebuilding. And then from that time, 454 B.C. If you compute the time to the time of the Messiah, the King, is exactly 69:7. Four hundred 83 years. And if you want to be more exact, when was Christ proclaimed as Messiah? It was the time he entered into Jerusalem, the last time. But he was cut off. So the prophecy said, the Messiah will come, but he will cut off. And cut off is a violent term. In other words, he will meet a violent death, even crucifixion. And then you'll find there's a gap. The last seven is still in the future. There's a gap. And Jerusalem will be destroyed. The prince of the people, that is the Roman prince, will destroy the temple. And there will be war until the very end. And the reason why there is such a gap, it is because this is the church period, the dispensation of grace. But then you will find the last seven years. The Antichrist will come, make a peace pact with God's chosen people to give them security. But in the middle of the peace pact, he will break it and show his real face as the Antichrist. And that will be the great tribulation of Jacob's trouble. But at the end, the desolator will be destroyed by the coming of Christ. So that is chapter 9. Now chapter 10 to 12. At the time, Daniel was over 90 years of age already. Now, do not think the old man has no use anymore. Daniel was over 90 years of age at that time. You know, he lived through the 70 years of captivity. If he was taken as hostage when he was 20, after 70 years, he was 90 years old in the first year of King Darius. In the third year of Cyrus, in the third year of King Cyrus, he must be 92 already. 92 or 93. But the greatest vision was given to him at that time. He was given the vision of the time of the end, according to the scripture of truth. You know, the remnant had already returned to Jerusalem in the first year. They started to lay the foundation of the temple, but the work was stopped. So in the third year of King Cyrus, Daniel, of course, knew what happened in Jerusalem. God said he will restore the temple. And he will restore the city. But it didn't happen. The people returned. The foundation was laid. But the work was stopped. So Daniel, he fasted, he prayed for 3 weeks before God. He was seeking God. He wanted to know what would happen. What happened to the 77? And when he was seeking God, because he was one greatly loved, God showed him the time of the end. Wonderful prophecies. Prophecies that will be fulfilled in details. No prophecy in the Bible is in such detail. But you find that in chapter 10, of course, it's more like an introduction. And chapter 11, the first chapter 11, from actually chapter 11, verse 2 to 35 is from Darius, from the time of Darius to Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, we cannot go into details because no time. And then from chapter 11, 36, suddenly it turned. Because Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of the Antichrist. So suddenly it turns to the Antichrist. And it shows us what the Antichrist will be doing. How the world will be all in turmoil. And finally, the time of the end shall come. Now, of course, even Daniel, he didn't understand fully, but he was told, that's reserved to the end. When knowledge shall increase, communication will be increased, and people will begin to understand. So today, as a matter of fact, the book of Daniel is no longer a sealed book. It is an open book to us. We know that the time of the end is in view. Let those who are clean be refined and kept pure and white before God. Brothers and sisters, this is a time, very difficult time, but we, by the grace of God, should be kept pure and quiet before God, that at His coming we will be able to see His face without being put to shame. And Daniel, he had to go to rest until the time he will be raised up and receive his reward. And we who are still living, how we need to be always ready, waiting, praying, preparing to meet the coming King. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us this book of Daniel, that we may be prepared. We praise and thank Thee that Thy word is true. We see all things are coming to an end according to Thy word. We do praise and thank Thee that this world will soon be over and Thy kingdom shall come upon this earth. During this period, O Lord, we do pray that Thou will raise up many Daniels who will be test witnesses to Thee, that will bear testimony that Jesus is King, that His kingdom is the everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is forever. Lord, we do ask Thee that this book of Daniel will not be just a matter of curiosity to us, but it will really stir our hearts to give ourselves over to Thee, pure as Daniel, to be Thy witness and Thy testimony. In the name of our Lord Jesus, Amen.